Life, culture, and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 on Vision.
There is a disturbing trend to talk about today on International Women's Day. It's a topic that we'll talk about, but many others somehow or other won't, because in a PC world, it's often the elephant in the room, and some are too scared to even raise it in public. Sometimes it's even referred to as the F word, and not popular in the halls of feminist rhetoric and women's rights. Well, the word we'll talk about today is fertility. Why we need to talk about it is because it's one of those things that has finite limits, even with all the medical technology available. And as the facts of life go, the female body reaches its fertility peak in the early to mid-20s and starts to nosedive at 35. The pro-life organization Emily's Voice is engaging with this issue on International Women's Day. Marketing manager Jeanette Harris is joining us to talk through these issues of what is called a fertility window. Jeanette, a special welcome along to 2020.
Hi, Neil. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Jeanette, you have your own story to tell, starting having children in your early 30s. What can you share with us about this type of topic, a fertility window, and your own insight?
Well, I guess I was born in the early 70s, and I was one of those children really coming out of the, I think, the 50s and 60s, that revolution, where we were really encouraged in education and to reach for the sky and to do whatever we could to get our career. So that's what I did. I worked really hard in school, came out the other side with good grades, went off to university, and my mind really wasn't at all in the headspace for settling down, thinking about marriage or having children. So I went about having my career and climbing the corporate ladder, of course, completely unaware that your prime fertility window is during your 20s. So when I met my husband at 29, we thought, well, we don't want to have children straight away, so we'll, you know, keep going on our careers and everything. And then when we did decide to settle down and have children a couple of years later, it actually didn't happen when we thought it was going to happen. We just thought that, you know, you'd start trying and then, you know, boom, you would fall pregnant and that family plan would come out. And of course it didn't. So it actually took us 2 years to conceive our first child, and then it was 5 years with the second one, and another 2 years with the next one. So not only did we have a case of initial infertility, but we actually had what they call secondary infertility as well, which is a really hard thing to go through.
And you can only share wisdom on this topic if you've been there, as you have, as you share that girls, women, encouraged strongly to have an education and get a career. But this idea of a fertility window either isn't coming up or is being denied in some way to girls and women. Is it just because it's not in the public discourse? The media are not talking about it. People don't elevate this to any level of importance. What are your thoughts here, Jeanette?
I think my personal thoughts would be that and my experience has been that at the moment we don't know how to balance the two things together. It's almost like there's a fight going on in society. If you talk about family, that means that that's against career. And if you talk about career, then you can't have career and family together. And it's really messing with young women's minds. And it really had that exact same effect on me, because when it got to the point of actually wanting to have a family, I could not figure out how I was going to juggle both things. And of course, at that point, it was that much harder.
Let's talk some facts and figures here, because when we talk about a woman's fertility at its peak during her 20s, give us a little bit of facts and figures around that. And what is it that we ought to understand if you're wanting to get the right context and how you might plan your career and family?
Well, the challenge is that your prime fertility window is during your 20s. So your body is saying, create new life. You know, that's how we are designed to be. But society is saying, go out and study, establish your career, you know, save your money. And so what we're actually finding from our perspective at Emily's Voice is that 96% of all abortions, because I'm going to throw that word in there, actually happen for psychosocial reasons. So what we're seeing is that because family and even discussion about committed relationships isn't happening during school time, and it may not even be being discussed at home, by the time that women get into their 20s, their mindset is actually in career mode often, and so they're not ready to settle down and they don't feel ready, but actually their body is fully ready. So we're also seeing the average age of marriage be 30 for a woman and 32 for a man. So all those numbers are really lining up to say that women are and men are committing to a long-term relationship or marriage much later, and it's at that point when their body clock is ticking that they decide to start, you know, going for a family and going for it now, really, you know, really urgently.
It's all right to talk about that word abortion, because I mentioned in the introduction that your organization is in fact a pro-life organization. Emily's Voice is pro-life, and a lot of people think that people who are on the pro-life side of things are militant and angry about this issue of abortion. But what you've got here is a very proactive, insightful and very encouraging way to be able to nurture girls into the idea of career and family by understanding more deeply this idea of a fertility window. Is that a good pro-life approach?
Well, we think what we do is great, and we constantly have people coming up to us saying, I love what you're all doing at Emily's Voice, because we're encouraging Australians to fall in love with the unborn. And there are extremely common arguments that people give when they're going in for an abortion. And the other thing to say is that actually 70% of women, 70% of the 70,000 per year, actually don't want to go and have an abortion if just one person encouraged them. So it's almost like their minds and their bodies actually want to have the baby, but their circumstances are telling them, and society is endorsing not to go ahead with it. So that's what we're finding.
You have education and career, marriage and family. The average age of marriage has been creeping up over the years. That has a big effect as well, doesn't it? Because if people don't assume that marrying age is early 20s, they might go for the current sort of statistics that show it's sort of early 30s. What are your thoughts on the way that marriage age has crept up over the years?
I think it all goes hand in hand with the rise of feminism and the pushes on women today who are told that they can have it all. And a very wise lady once said to me, we can have it all, just not at the same time. So I think there's this societal push for girls to get that career in because they think that they're going to miss out. And actually what family does bring you, and I'm sure you've found it yourself, Neil, but I certainly have through having now three children, is that you learn so much about human life, about family, how to influence, how to negotiate through having a family, that by the time you come back into the workforce, you have actually got so much more to give, and you haven't lost out on that fertility window, and consequently, you're not also you know, forced to consider options down the line like IVF and those kind of things, which can be extremely, extremely painful for women too. So there's that managing of life at both ends of the spectrum. And all those pieces have not been put together. So we're really quite excited about the message that we're delivering on this International Women's Day.
You have three children. My wife and I have four, and I completely agree with you. The getting of wisdom that comes from having children is something that is in itself hugely valuable for the way that you actually approach so many different life issues. Another big factor here is the IVF industry. Let me call it an industry because there is this industry that's emerged because women have been waiting longer and the fertility window has been getting smaller and smaller as those years go on. What are your thoughts for the emergence and the growth too of IVF babies born in Australia and how that sort of correlates with the way that women are seeing this fertility window?
Well, it all completely correlates because if couples are waiting later, that fertility window is shutting. We know that fertility drops off a cliff from 30, 35, and even at 40, your fertility is half of what it was. It's about 7% of what it was when you were 30. So you are constantly, working against the natural order of what your body is supposed to be. And society kind of says, well, that doesn't matter because you've got IVF, which is available. But also what I think people don't realise is while the solution is out there, the success rates of IVF actually decrease as you get older as well. As you get older as a woman, as a man, and also the age of your eggs as well. I mean, women are actually born with all the eggs that they will ever need in their entire lifetime, but they do age as you grow older. So we really need to be educating our kids in this, during sex education, if you like. I'm pretty sure it doesn't even exist in sex education right now, or health education as they're coming through. That we need to educate our girls that the prime time to have a family, if that's what they choose to do, not everybody wants to do that, is between the 20 and 30 age range, so that they don't end up in these psychological dilemmas of what do I do now if I have an unplanned pregnancy, or what do I do if actually I can't fall pregnant.
It's not easy, and as you say, Jeanette, if you get things into context, if you recognise those things that don't change, like a woman's fertility window, then you can incorporate that into the planning of your life, and when you do that, you actually solve so many issues of heartache and challenge that you might have otherwise if you try to push that window a little too far. Let me point people to Emily's Voice website, emilysvoice.com, and no doubt, Jeanette, today you'll have some details, some resource, some articles on there that women may be able to access to just crystallise some of these thoughts that you've been sharing today. Significant thoughts from marketing manager at Emily's Voice, Jeanette Harris, who has her own story to tell. Let me give you that website. It's emilysvoice.com. And Jeanette, thank you so much for taking some time to share your thoughts and your heart with us today on 2020.
Thank you, Neil. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Before you go, thanks for listening.
There's lots more great audio on demand, or you can listen to us live at visionradio.org.au.
And remember, Vision is listener supported. Your donation,
large or small,
will help us continue connecting faith to life for hundreds of thousands of people across Australia and around the world.
Learn more or donate today at visionradio.org.au.